This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma. And I have with me my daughters, my son, my grandchildren, and we've been talking about fear. And a word that we hear a lot in these last days is terrorism. When Jesus told us what would occur before his second coming, he said, quote, Luke 21, 25 and 26, "There shall be signs upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth." A word that strikes fear to the hearts of men these days is terrorism. Though it takes various forms and comes from divergent groups, its real source is Satan. He is the master terrorist. When he's judged, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, 19, "Thou shalt be terrors, and never shalt thou be any more." He is the terrorist. He is the author of terrorism. One day years ago, the Lord made this scripture come alive to me, Philippians 1, 28. "And in no thing and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or doom, but to you of salvation and that of God." The Bible instructs us not to be terrified by our adversaries. It further specifies in nothing, in no thing. Just by doing this, we send them, those who are our adversaries, what the Bible calls, quote, an evident token. Remember, token means sign. An evident sign is one easily seen. By your just not being terrified by your adversary, it sends them an easily read sign. A sign of what? Of their perdition. Perdition means doom. The day the Lord revealed this to my spirit, I saw it like this. When we are not terrified, it's like we put up a huge blinking neon sign in the face of Satan and his demons. "You're doomed, you're doomed," the message flashes. And that's not all it says. The Bible says it is to them, quote, an evident token of perdition or doom, but it's also the sign to you of salvation. It also blinks, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed." Satan and demons are not all-knowing. They don't know your heart. They can only read your countenance, and they are observing you. The original Hebrew of Psalm 27:11 shows us that fact. Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." This psalm is one of my favorites. It begins with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of what shall I be afraid?" When I got a new Bible recently, it had a reference to the last phrase of my previous Bible did not have. It gives the original Hebrew of mine enemies and says that it is those who observe me. I ran a reference and found this in the original Hebrew of other scriptures. What kinds of signs are you sending to those who observe you? Those who observe you are the demons. They are the ones that accuse you night and day. They're looking for something to accuse you of. If you are not afraid, those who are sent to observe you won't stay around to read, "You're doomed, you're doomed." When you get up in the morning and send the right signals, don't say, "Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so afraid." Those who observe you will laugh with glee. Demons, oh, little devils. And they will stay around to feed your mind with fear and sadness. But if you get up in the morning and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm so glad for this new day. Thank you, Father, for your great plan of redemption. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I place the token of the blood between me and mine and all the power of the enemy." Those who observe you will flee as if in terror. And that's what is written in James 4:7. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hold the blood. Have faith in the blood of Jesus. Draw a bloodline. Can you draw a bloodline? Yes. If Rahab the harlot could draw a bloodline in the Old Testament, then you can draw a bloodline in the New. Shelley, read this chapter 10 out of my book, The Blood and the Glory.
You know, God gave an amazing revelation of the blood and the power in the blood to protect in the account of Rahab the harlot. I sat this evening writing this chapter in Israel, not far from south of Jericho. Out my window, I see the mountains of Moab changing colors in the light of the setting sun. They lie east of the Jordan River in present-day Jordan. But from my vantage point, too far away to reveal detail, they appear as they must have 3,300 or so years ago, when the children of Israel passed through on their way to the Promised Land. And in these surroundings, my mind wonders anew at the remarkable faith of a Canaanite harlot. For what Rahab did, the Bible said, she did by faith. Hebrews 11:31. And my mind wanders back easily to the circumstances of her world. This whole country was filled with fear. The massive multitude of the children of Israel, perhaps some Bible scholars say there were at least 2.5 million children of Israel, and they had destroyed the kingdoms and that tried to stop their move toward the land of Canaan, their promised land. And the Bible describes the state of the area's kings in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, quote, "Their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore." Why? Because of the children of Israel. The inhabitants of Jericho, a Canaanite city-state, were terrified. Yet, in the midst of a frightened population, one woman exercised faith so great it gained for her a good report from God and a place in two Bible halls of fame, one being the lineage of Jesus and the elders of faith being the second. Matthew 1:5, and the other location is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 2 and 31. Think about it. She made the hall of
faith. She made the hall of
God's
fame of faith.
A Canaanite harlot, because God loves faith. Every circumstance of Rahab's life and society was against her exercising such faith. The headlines, so to speak, of the day warned of impending doom. Her religion was against her. The Canaanite religion sacrificed children in the fire and centered on sex. And this is in Deuteronomy 13, verses 10 and 11. There's a particular Bible dictionary, the Revell, and it says, quoting from it, quote, "The religion of the Canaanites focused on fertility. Religious rites employed sex to stimulate the gods and goddesses to grant fertility to the land and to their livestock. The moral and religious depravity of the Canaanites portrayed in Scripture and revealed even more clearly in the materials recovered from archaeologists explaining why God commanded Israel to totally destroy these people within the borders of the Promised Land. The war of extermination was a long-delayed divine judgment on the Canaanites," in Genesis 15, verse 16. So going back to your book, Mom, Jehovah's plan seemed to be against Rahab.
Her society was against her.
Her religion was against her.
But Jehovah.
Exactly. And right.
His plan is against her.
Exactly. The creator of the universe determined it was time to execute judgment upon her society. And she lived in the most dangerous spot on the globe.
Her house was on the walls of Jericho.
Oh, yes. And that's what you have in your book. Her house was on the city wall, which God decreed must fall. Wow, what a place for inspiration. We can follow Rahab's faith. Rahab's faith deserves close consideration, for it reveals a way to use the power of the blood in the face of today's events.
Yes.
Absolutely. Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. They lodged at the harlot's house, possibly because it would not arouse suspicion. And when the king of Jericho heard it, he sent men from after them, and Rahab hid the spies under the stalks of flax upon her flat roof while she managed to get rid of the king's men. And before the Hebrew spies left, she said to them, and you can find this in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, quote, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, whom ye utterly destroyed.
She heard.
Faith cometh by
hearing.
And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven alone and in the earth beneath. Unquote. Rahab heard the same news everyone in town had also heard. She heard the supernatural acts of Israel's God. Fear filled the hearts of the overwhelming majority, but faith filled Rahab's heart, for she had decided a choice. To believe Jehovah must be the true God. And based upon her belief, her faith spoke. And we read in Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, quote, Now therefore, this is Rahab, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab dared to ask for the lives of her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and she wanted all their possessions. That's their material goods, their belongings. Think about that. Well, it's a good thing she hadn't talked to some people today. They'd have talked her out of such audacity. But it evidently pleased God, because in Hebrews 11, 6 and verses 6 and 31, we read about it. And Rahab also wanted a true token, a sign. If the spies had not been running for their lives, they might have slain a lamb and placed the same token upon Rahab's doorpost, which was sprinkled upon the Hebrews' doorpost when judgment was coming to Egypt 40 years earlier. But this time, a scarlet cord would have to do for Rahab and her family. A scarlet line would represent the blood of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in Joshua chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 21, Behold, when we come into the Lamb, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by.
And we're about to run out of time.
Okay.
That scarlet thread was her bloodline.
Yes.
If Rahab could draw a bloodline.
Right.
And save her family and all their possessions, then you can draw a bloodline.
Right.
And save your family and all their possessions. We trust you have enjoyed this program and these weeks on fear. We recognize that it's almost like one of our presidents said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. To help you, we have two books we want you to have. The Authority of the Believer by John A. MacMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. MacMillan said in the foreword to his books that this age that we're in right now is knowing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer, and that is the prayer of the authority of the believer. The bloodline, how to draw them. We're offering two books, The Authority of the Believer by John MacMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. I want you to have these books, so much so that we're offering them to you as a radio package for $10 plus shipping. Just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, or go online to billybrim.org or order 1-800-972-3447.